And it's good to see you tonight. Are you glad you're here?
Amen.
Amen. If you're not glad you're here, don't tell me. Just pretend you're glad you're here. And by the time we're through, you'll be glad you was here. Because the Lord's going to share something with you tonight. If you come ready to hear?
Amen.
All right. Our hearts have been prepared for His Word. What we're going to do is continue our series in the book of Proverbs that we've begun actually last month, and I just can't seem to get out of Proverbs. We talked about different things that Proverbs has talked to us about and taken some wisdom from Solomon. And tonight what I'd like to do is talk to you about one of the topics that is as much a part of life as breathing and eating and drinking, and that is conflict. Conflict? Yes. Conflict is a part of life. And if you'll go with me to Proverbs chapter number 17, I want you to see a verse that I believe shows us, without using the word conflict, that shows us how God uses conflict in our lives to develop character. God uses conflict. Look with me at Proverbs chapter number 17 and verse number 3. It says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." The Lord tests the heart. The testing or the trying process that God uses is compared to as fire is to gold and as a refining pot is to silver. Now, if you were gold, I know that's impossible, but just for the sake of argument, if you were gold, do you think you would like fire? Probably not. Because what fire would do to you is it would bend you out of shape. Have you ever been bent out of shape? Somebody said something to you just the right way and you got all bent out of shape, didn't you? Some situation comes up in your life that you don't like and you get all bent out of shape. Well, that's what fire does to gold. You put gold in touch with fire and it's going to get bent out of shape. It's going to change its shape. It's going to have to become something that it wasn't previously. And something's going to come to the surface. What's going to come to the surface? Dross is the word that we use. Those impurities, those imperfections, those issues of life that make, or those issues in gold that make it less than pure. And so the scripture teaches us that just as gold needs to be purified, and just as silver needs to be refined, so our hearts go through some sort of process by God that bends us out of shape. And I believe that God uses conflict and adversity. So what I want to do is share with you a little bit about the role of conflict. I want to share with you a little bit about the causes of conflict. And then I want to share with you some ways to deal with conflict. And every verse we're going to read is going to be in the book of Proverbs. Is that all right? The nice thing about that is you don't have to go flipping all over the Bible. You'll know right where you're at. Always in the book of Proverbs. So let's take a look at it tonight. Before we do, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for giving us wisdom through this man Solomon, who asked you that instead of riches or long life, that he might have wisdom in leading your people. So help us to appropriate from that wisdom that you've given to us through these words in learning how to live. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, let's talk about the role of conflict in our life. I believe that God uses conflict in our life to bring us to those heated places, those momentous places of discomfort in order to bring that out of us which should not be there, just like God purifies gold and purifies silver. And every time we encounter conflict, we have a choice in how we respond to the conflict. It's our choice in how we react. We can choose to get into it and end up discouraged and end up angry. Or we can choose to be patient and look at the long-term results of what God is trying to work in our life. So we have a choice whenever conflict or adversity comes into our life. We can either get better or bitter. Can you remember that? Get bitter or better. How many betters could a better Get bitter or better. That's our choice. When conflict comes, when adversity comes in life, we respond. Our responses cause us to have a reaction. Now let's look at one example of that. And this is one of the roles that conflict plays in our life. In chapter 27 of Proverbs, verse number 17, you're going to see that conflict will make a dull blade sharp. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now, up until recently, the only way that it was known to sharpen a blade was to use a whetstone. Was to use something that was equally hard and equally sharp, and if you would take a knife and rub it against that whetstone, a kind of flint, so to speak, another sharp blade, what would happen is, through the friction and through the sparks that came out of that conflict, something would get sharpened. It's hard to cut with a dull knife. Have you ever gone to a place to eat and you ask for a knife and they give you a butter knife and you need a steak knife? I don't know if you have or not. So maybe even at home, we won't talk about our wives cooking. We're going to talk about how to get out of conflict. Not my wife's cooking. I'm talking about y'all. No. I swallowed that one. That's right. The point of it is, though, is that you need, for a knife to be effective, it needs to be sharp. And this analogy that's given to us is that the way that our lives are sharpened is often through that friction, spark-causing process called conflict. And how we respond to that determines how sharp we're going to be in life. Even through close and friction-filled interaction with others, God uses that. And again, it's our choice in how we respond. But you know what? Sometimes God can use those friction-filled moments to cause us to face things that we wouldn't face otherwise. You know, sometimes we need conflict to cause us to face things that we otherwise would run away from. And sometimes people run away from things. It's easier to avoid conflict and confrontation. But I'm going to tell you something. I do believe that oftentimes when we're confronted with something that we didn't want to deal with, and we deal with it, our relationships become stronger, our intimacies become greater. In marriage, I've seen it in our life, if we'll deal with things that we may not want to deal with, but we let the sparks fly a little bit, deal with it God's way, there's an intimacy that's shared that otherwise would not be enjoyed by someone who never deals or with the issues, the deep issues of life. And so the point is that conflict can be beneficial or it can be detrimental. It's really how we engage in that conflict, how we allow it to work in our life. Now, our natural inclination is to defend our point of view no matter what. In a minute, I'm going to show you why we do that. But it's our natural inclination to defend our point of view and to attack the others. We try to take the fight to the enemy, and so we say whatever is necessary to win. And we start wounding and shooting out arrows and bullets, word bullets, and doing whatever we can, shooting from the hip, inflicting wounds that are not necessary because we've chosen to react in a way that's not proper. And we end up being wounded in return. And because we've engaged in conflict in the way that the Scripture tells us not to, we end up with foolishness. So let's talk for a minute about the causes of conflict, especially hurtful conflict, because I believe there's positive conflict. When the Lord confronts us with an issue, or when we're confronted by a brother or sister about an issue that needs to be confronted, that's a good thing. But there are some hurtful conflicts that happen, and here's how some of them happen. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10, I'm going to give you five of them. I hope that you'll write these down or remember these, because these will help you in dealing with whatever relationship you're in. It's kind of funny. Some of these is our relationship series, but this really plays right into it. The first cause of hurtful conflict that I want to mention to you tonight is pride. This is a biggie. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10, it says, "Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel." Now, the word insolence is a word that's translated pride every place else. I'm not sure why they chose it to be insolence here. I'm sure there's a reason, but I want you to look at what he says. Through insolence comes nothing but strife. And the root word for this is zaldone, which means a presumptuous pride. And so when pride comes into someone, when pride takes root or when pride is in control of an issue, there's going to be strife. There's going to be conflict. Another verse that will prove that to you is chapter 28, verse 25. And I'm going to try to move through these a little bit quicker, but chapter 28, 25 says an arrogant man stirs up strife. What's an arrogant man? Well, that's a prideful man. Again, the same issue of pride coming into our life. You see, our natural pride is the instigator of more problems than just about any other source. Our ego. I'm just going to confess to you, I know in my marriage, that has been one of the biggest issues in years gone by has been my ego. My desire to be right. And that has caused more conflict in our relationship in days gone by. We desire to be right. And even if some other person has a point of view that may seem to be right, because I don't want to give up the fight, I don't want to give up the battle, my pride, Solomon says that the only thing that comes from an insolent pride is nothing but strife. That's the only thing, that's the only result, nothing but strife. And so, before we engage in the conflict, before we get involved in that argument, we need to ask ourselves, is my primary motivation in involving myself in this just to prove that I'm right? Is that the main reason I'm having this conversation, is just to maintain my self-appointed superiority, to protect my ego? I'll tell you something, that's not a valid reason to be drawn into an argument. It's a cause of hurtful conflict. Now, it's interesting, back in that same verse, of chapter 13, verse 10, where it says that the prideful man, the insolent man, through insolence comes nothing but strife, he goes on to say, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. And let me tell you something, a prideful man will not receive counsel. He won't listen to anybody but himself. The only person he'll listen to is the person in the mirror. But you see, if you want to get away from that issue of hurtful conflict, we need to learn to listen to others. We need to learn to take counsel. We need to seek advice from someone before we're drawn into that conflict. And I'm going to tell you that the wisdom gained from others will usually allow you to avoid being drawn into something that's just a prideful issue. We need to save the fight for the things that really matter. Let's not fight over whether it was a mosquito or a gnat. You've heard that story, right? Would you like to hear it again? For those who were not here, one of the biggest arguments my wife and I had in our younger years. We were at a friend's house in Mexico. We were missionaries. And we're sitting there visiting, and something flew by, and one of us said, that was, man, the mosquitoes are bad. And the other one said, I know they are bad, but that wasn't a mosquito, that was a gnat. Well, it was a mosquito. I know what a mosquito looks like. No, I know what a mosquito looks like. It's not a mosquito, it's a gnat. And folks, that is the stupidest thing in the world to argue about, but we argued so much we had to leave their house and take it to our house. It was horrible. It really was. Now, we were smiling when we left, so I thank y'all for letting us come. But see, I'm convinced that pride would not let me let go. I couldn't let her be right because of pride. So let's save our arguments and our conflicts for real issues, not mosquitoes and gnats. The second thing is found in Proverbs chapter 15, and this is another cause of really painful, hurtful conflict, and that is anger. Look at Proverbs 15. We're talking about strife, we're talking about adversity, we're talking about contention, we're talking about conflict. In Proverbs 15, verse number 18, he says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Who stirs up strife? A hot-tempered one. An angry man. Listen, arguments often start not because they're necessary, but because somebody's angry. Somebody's upset. Somebody's got their feelings hurt. And maybe it's a prideful issue. But you know what? Many times, and listen to me carefully, many times the anger that instigates the argument has nothing to do with the argument. Have you ever experienced that? Where you fight about something that you're not even really angry about, but because there's something else over here, anything will cause you to fuss and fight. The Scripture tells us that a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. I'm going to tell you something. If you have anger issues, you need to deal with those things with the Lord before they fuel into something that's going to be harmful or hurtful. If the other person is angry, then stay away from them. Give them time to chill out. Don't tell them they need to chill out. That won't help. But the second cause, a second cause of hurtful conflict is anger. A third one is found in the same chapter 15. And that's harsh words. This is something my wife has taught me. Chapter 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. All it takes to start an argument or to fuel an argument or fuel a conflict is a simple harsh statement or just a few hurtful words. And my wife has taught me it's not always what you say. Sometimes it's how you say it. There's a whole lot of difference between I love you, I love you too. There's a lot of difference in those two. Sometimes the way we say something will carry more impact than what the words themselves are. And those harsh words will create conflict. And listen, most of us know, especially if you've been, I'm not trying to talk about just marriage, but it seems to be what's coming to my mind right now. Most of us know what buttons to push. If you've been around each other very long, you know just what button to push to send the other one over the edge, don't you? Go ahead, nod your head. This is a yes. Yeah, I'm going to say it for you. We know. You know what we need to do? We need to do like they do in those nuclear reactors. We need to have where those big red buttons are, and they need to be a big red X on top of them. Then we need to have this clear, bulletproof container thing that clamps down over top of it. And then there needs to be like two keys that takes two people to open it, you know? So that we don't inadvertently push a button just to get a reaction out of somebody, because we do it. We know what will cause a problem, and so we get into an argument, and if we feel like we're losing the argument, well, we know how to win. We push that button. We diversionary tactic. Let's get them riled up by something else so I can maintain my ground. The Scripture tells us that hurtful conflict comes from harsh words. So let's don't use those harsh words. Instead, it says here, a gentle answer. It's amazing how many times in our relationship one of us has been able to, in the midst of a conflict, almost take a breath. Listen, I know that what you're hearing is not what I'm saying. Or I know that what I'm saying is not what you're hearing. Can we start over? Or something along those lines. And that gentleness will diffuse that conflict. A fourth thing is this, it's impulsiveness. Or an impulsive reaction. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 8, the psalmist writes to us in Proverbs 25, verse 8, says, "Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you?" An impulsive reaction. Most arguments are started impulsively. Most of us do not spend all day at work thinking about how we're going to start an argument when we get home. Now, I know there are some rare occasions when you do that. Hopefully those are very rare. I understand there can be frustrating issues that need to be dealt with. But listen, lots of times these conflicts happen through some impulsive reaction, some impulsive at the moment. Somebody says something, you know, and because of some other issue that's going on, we react instead of acting. You know, we get to work and somebody says, "Good day." You say, "What's so good about it?" "Well, I don't know." There it goes, right there. "Are you getting home? Did you have a good day?" "No, I didn't have a good day. Why do you ask me to have a good day? You know what the place I work is." Wait a minute. Slow down. Calm down. Shh. Reverse. Beep, beep. Back it on up. Impulsive reactions will create problems every time. In fact, now look at this. And this is the key. What Solomon's telling you is that an impulsive reaction will actually end up hurting you in the long run. Look at it again. Verse number 8. "Do not go hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Don't be in such a hurry to make your point, because you're going to find out, because you hadn't thought it through, because you're just impulsively reacting, you're going to end up being hurt, or you're going to hurt the situation rather than helping. And so what's his suggestion? Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be impulsive. This is one thing my dad used to say to me all the time as a teenager. I didn't know any other way to be. I thought impulsive was my middle name. It's who I was, it seemed like. But the Lord deals with our hearts and helps us not to be reacting so hastily. And this last one is one that well, look at Proverbs 26, verse 17, because I want you to see that a problem with conflicts, and I'm just trying to take some things that Solomon said to us about strife, about adversity, about conflicts. Here's what he said. Don't meddle in somebody else's conflict. Because when you meddle in somebody else's conflict, you're going to have problems. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 17. Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. That's just not very smart. Can you imagine walking down a road and you see a dog standing over there on the other side of a gate, other side of a fence, and you just reach over that fence and you grab that dog and start jerking his ears? I'm going to tell you what, if that fence was low enough for you to reach over, it ain't tall enough to protect you from what's fixing to happen. That dog's fixing to come over that fence. I love the story my dad used to tell. I don't think he ever preached about this story, but it just fits right now because it was such, to me, it's just a great little story. Dad used to sell insurance back when I was just a kid. They lived in Leesville, and I was real little. And he had certain little places he'd go to, and one of the places he went to, I think it was a trailer park, and as he went to the, as he'd go to this trailer park, there was a German Shepherd behind this fence. And every time he'd go into this area, he's going to walk this little area and talk to folks, he'd walk by that fence, and he'd start barking at that German Shepherd. Wah, 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 wah. And that German Shepherd would go crazy. I mean, he would jump, he would snarl, he would bite, he would rah, but he couldn't get to him through the fence. One day, Dad walks by, rah, 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 riles up that dog, but what he doesn't know is the gate was left open that day. And so Dad's, kind of chuckling to himself and walking down the road, and that dog comes around the backside, uses his nose to lift up the latch or whatever, comes out that gate, and quietly, silently, pads down the road, gets right behind my dad, jumps up on his back shoulders, puts his paws on his shoulders, and does this in his ear. Woof! And then turns around with his tail wagging behind him all the way back to his house. True story. I wasn't there, but he's told it so many times I know it pretty well. I cannot imagine how well the rest of the sales trip went on that day. I have a feeling that it was the end of the sales, knocking on doors. I think he said there was a neighbor sitting over there on the porch that just was laughing his head off. I just see that. What a great sense of humor that dog had, I tell you, to know how to get even. You know, everybody never barked at that dog again. He never grabbed a dog by the ears again. Because, you know, when you do that, you're creating problems for yourself. There's no sense in that. I know that it's only natural for us to want to help other people in their conflicts. I know that. Somebody comes to us and they start pouring their heart out to you and start telling stuff. But let me tell you something. When you start messing with somebody else's problems, you're going to be the one that gets bit. I've been around it long enough to know, because I've experienced it firsthand. What Brother Buddy has often told me is that you try to fix somebody else's conflict, you try to fix their problem, they're going to make things all right. They're going to patch stuff up, and you're going to be the bad guy. You'll be the common enemy. So be careful about messing with something. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying when someone comes to you complaining about somebody else, you know what? As much as I love you, that's really none of my business. And my opinion on the matter is not going to affect one way or another your situation. I'll be glad to pray with you, but I can't get in the middle of this thing. And this is just some wisdom, guys. This is wisdom. So, five things that will cause hurtful conflict. Pride, anger, harsh word, impulsive reaction, and meddling in other people's conflicts. Well, how do we deal with conflict? If God's wanting to use conflict in our life to create purity, if He's wanting to use conflict in our life to create character, if He's wanting to use conflict and adversity and confrontation in our life to create, form us and shape us and bend us out of the shape that we naturally are into the shape He wants us to be in, how do we deal with it? Well, here are some keys that will help you. Number one, it's found in Proverbs 18, and it's this: understand the potential consequences of the conflict. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 19. I want you to look at this. We need to understand and realize the consequences of engaging in an argument or a conflict, because they may be worse than we're bargaining for. In Proverbs 18, verse 19, it says this: a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. And the point that I see him making here is that we need to recognize that you can cross a line and you can offend somebody to the point that you lose them. It can happen. It can happen. Here it says a brother. It can happen in friendships. It can happen in marriages. Winning back someone's friendship, winning back someone's trust, winning back someone's commitment to you may be next to impossible if you have not understood the consequences of the conflict. And look, that doesn't mean we need to avoid valid confrontation, because there are proper places to do it. But we need to carefully consider the consequences of that conflict. How is this going to affect our relationship? Is this going to put them to the point of being offended and I can't win them back? Now, I think that you would do that if you're dealing with one of the five issues we dealt with already. If you're dealing with it God's way, you're not going to offend them to the point of losing them. But we need to remember to understand the potential consequences. Number two, now this is kind of, I'm not sure about using this one or not, but it's in here. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. When you have an issue of conflict coming up in your life that's before you, there's a scripture that tells us that we ought to seek counsel before engaging in conflict. And let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 18. Let me see, is that the right place? Once again, I've written down the wrong thing. Because I have it in my notes, but I have the wrong citation written down. Here's what I have written down: prepare plans by consultation and make war by wise guidance. Now, I'm not saying that conflict can be war or should be war, but sometimes those issues of conflict, those issues of war, I think it can be important for us to seek good objective advice from others. Because sometimes we go into a conflict and we only see it from one perspective. We only see it from one side. Now, I said to you all ago that somebody can get in trouble by getting themselves in the middle of someone else's conflict. And I'm not saying asking somebody else to solve it for you, but there can be the great wisdom in finding a trusted spiritual advisor and say to them, we need help. Our marriage needs help. Our friendship needs help. This relationship together, we're struggling with, this issue is creating contention. Can we have some help? And the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. So there's victory. So that's another issue that can be helpful to you. Now, and here's another one. Let's talk about conflict, hopefully outside the marriage. Not hopefully, but hopefully this one's not in the marriage. Sometimes people will attack you in crazy ways. Conflict will arise in your workplace or with some neighbor that just is impossible to get along with. I have a very good friend of mine who's going through an ordeal that you may be aware of if you've read the newspaper. You know who my good friend is, and you may know what the ordeal is by reading the newspaper. And it's an ordeal. He's being harassed on several sides. This is the counsel that I gave to him. It's Proverbs chapter 26, verse number 4. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4 says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him. In this particular situation, my friend is being attacked and being harassed, and on some public forums, he's being called names, and innuendos are being put out there, and he so much wants to defend himself. The problem is that if you fight with a fool, If you answer a fool the way that he answers you, he thinks he's smart. In fact, look at that very next verse, chapter 26, verse number 5. Answer fools as folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. I believe what this is telling me is that, you know, a lot of arguments and a lot of conflicts are immature at best and they're foolish at worst. And we need to make sure that we don't lower ourselves to the level of whoever is trying to be in conflict with us. Don't attack a person. They may attack you, but don't attack a person. You can attack an idea. You can expose the folly of wrong thinking, but don't attack a person. That's what they do. Answer them. Do not answer a fool according to his folly in the way that he responds. Okay, so we've talked about three ways to respond to conflict. Here's another one. This is found in Proverbs 25, just before we've read. This is, I've seen this really create problems, and this is don't reveal confidential information. In Proverbs 25, verse number 9, it says, argue your case with your neighbor, and do not reveal the secret of another, or he who hears it will reproach you, and the evil report about you will not pass away. Now look, when we're in conflict, let's say we're having a disagreement with someone. And it's some, you know, it's either a family member, or maybe it's someone in the church, or maybe it's someone in our extended circle of friends. It's so easy to want to say to them, listen, I'm not the only one who feels this way about you. There's several other people who have the same problem with you that I have. And you know what they're going to say? Well, who? Well, let me tell you. So-and-so said this about you. So-and-so said this about you. So-and-so said this about you. And you know what we just did? We just made ourselves the fool. Because the Scripture says, don't reveal a secret. And sometimes things are said to you in an area of confidence, or an area that you don't need it. Because all that will happen is just like I said a while ago, resolution will come, and there will be a resolution between two people, but everybody else whose names got dragged into the mud are going to walk around with mud on their face, and they don't know how it got there. We create meddlesome strife for somebody else. God's trying to develop character in us. And one of the ways that he's going to do that is for us not to reveal this confidential information. This is just a practicality, folks. Don't be telling people, you know, I'm going to tell you, there's five other people in the church that told me they don't like the way you comb your hair. Or let me tell you, so-and-so is really upset about the way you park. I'm not the only one. I mean, when you park, you take up four parking spaces, it seems like. Why can't you park straight in there? I mean, so-and-so and so-and-so, they've all parked next to you, and every single time, they've all had problems with it, too. What? Okay, I'm being a little silly, but don't reveal confidential information. Now, I'm going to get you something I'm going to give you three really, really, really practical. The last two are going to be really, really practical. This one is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. We've read the verses before, but I want you to see it. Never prolong an argument. Proverbs 15, verse 1, we've read this, but look at it again. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now see, there's a point in conflict, and this is just a practical point of wisdom, folks. There's a point in every conflict where it's at a critical place. It can either get inflamed and get worse, or it can start being healed. And you control which way it's going to go. A harsh word is going to inflame it and stretch it out and prolong the problem and prolong the pain. A gentle answer is going to shorten the situation. It's going to bring healing. It's going to turn away wrath. And so, I know you want to get the last word in. Because I want to get the last word in. I know when we're fighting or struggling or fussing or conflict is risen, and everybody's made their point, and we'll hear this. Well, I just want to say this one last thing, and we'll be done with it. You know, that is a lie, because that is never the last thing, and you're never done with it. How many times has it happened in your conversations when you say that? I understand what you say, and I really think we're going to go, but let me just say this one last thing, and I won't say anything else. You gotta laugh at him. No, don't laugh at him, because you know, harsh words stirs up anger. Don't laugh at him. But what, we have a tendency to want to put that last word in. We have a tendency to make one more point. Just one. I'm speaking from experience here, folks. This is not some hypothetical, theoretical stuff from some book. This has come from a few scars in this noggin. And my wife doesn't throw pots. Thank God. Solomon is urging us to resist the natural inclination to get that last word in. And like I said a while ago, we can bring something to a good resolution with a soft answer, kind words, soft tone of voice. We can quickly de-escalate a situation instead of prolonging it. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs 26. I've always liked this one. It's Proverbs 26:20. Just write it down for future reference. It says, "For lack of wood, a fire goes out." And where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. But you know what? The more you fuel an argument, the bigger it gets, the more hurtful it's going to be. So, stop. Don't keep dragging it out. Don't keep bringing it back up to beat it up again. You know the old expression about a dead horse? What are you supposed to do with a dead horse? What are you not supposed to do with a dead horse? And don't beat a dead horse. He's already dead. Okay. Now this next one, you might laugh at this, but I'm going to tell you something. You want to resolve a conflict? You want to deal with conflict in a way I think will produce some character? You're going to laugh when you read this verse. Proverbs chapter 21. Here's what I entitled this one, "Give an Unexpected Gift." When you're in conflict, now just read this. Proverbs 21:14. "A gift in secret subdues anger, and a bribe in the bosom, strong wrath." Now, let's forget about the bribe part, okay? Because we're not talking about suborning perjury or getting some political person in trouble. But look at the first part. "A gift in secret subdues anger." You know what, guys? Especially guys, I guess. It's amazing what a red bow and a card with the words "I'm so" and lots of O's, "oh, sorry," will do to resolve conflict. Especially if you mean it. Don't do it because you don't mean it. But here's what y'all do. Call Sister Nora and say, "Sister Nora, I know you've always got some little gift thing for sale. She's always got something going on." Call Tina. Say, "Tina, I know you've got some little flower thingy over there. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to put a little card on there. And I need you to, in secret, drop it by my house. Or can I come by and pick it up and go by and take it and put it on her seat of her car. Or put the little card into the windshield wiper. Now look, you think I'm crazy? No, you don't. It works, doesn't it?" Jeff's nodding his head big time. He's agreeing with me. This is just a practical issue. This is a good way. It's not just about marriages, folks. I've seen this work in difficulties with friendships. I had a friendship one time that was deteriorating. And I didn't like the way it was going. And I didn't know exactly how to take care of it. And so I got something small. It wasn't significant. It wasn't costly. And I put a little note with it, and I said, and the note just said this: "I know that we're strained right now, but I want you to know I value your friendship, and if we can get through this, it would mean a lot to me." And signed my name. And our friendship was able, that turned a point where we were able to actually talk about it in a civil way and just take the fuse out of what could have exploded. There's a lot of wisdom here. A lot of wisdom here. Sometimes that unexpected gift with an apology will do a lot to heal. Here's the last one. It's chapter 10, verse number 12. And it's simply this: be quick to forgive. You want the Lord to deal in your life in a way that the conflicts work to create character? Be quick to forgive. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions." I remember when I first read this, the first time this year that I was reading through last month and on the 10th day of January, and I saw that statement stirs up, all I could think of, now, I'm visual, so you have to forgive me for this picture I'm fixing to give you, but all I could think of was something stinky. Maybe something, some gift left in your yard by your neighbor's dog. All right, and you see it out there. How stupid would it be to go get a stick and start poking at it just to stir it up? Because that's what hatred does. All right, how many, now you guys maybe have never done this. Every now and then we'll do a science experiment in our home. You know, we used to be homeschoolers, and so some of our homeschooling days have kind of hung over. And so every now and then we'll do a science experiment. It usually consists of me putting some leftovers in a Tupperware container and putting it in the back of the refrigerator and forgetting that it's there for about 6 months. That's a science experiment. And I have done that, where I've forgotten that it's there, and I go back to the back, and I get it out, you know, and it's interesting how when you open it up, it's got that pretty green coat. Oh, no, you know, it's just beautiful coat of green. Now, why on earth I would ever want to do this, but you take a spoon, and you stir it up, it is the worst thing you can ever do, because it'll take you 3 days to get that stink out of your kitchen. What you need to do is just go ahead and throw away that tub. Look, from experience, let me just tell you, throw away the Tupperware. Buy some more at the store later. But see, the scripture says hatred stirs up stink. Hatred stirs up strife. Hatred stirs up conflict. But love puts a lid on it. You hear me? It says love covers. Love puts a lid on it. Love contains the stink. Love contains the hurt, the pain. It covers it. And allows it to be dealt with. Anytime someone hurts us, it gives us a wonderful opportunity to respond with forgiveness. I believe that that is one of the greatest, most difficult, but one of the greatest ways we show the Father's reflection in our life is when we forgive as He forgave. The Lord's Prayer was given for the very reason that we would know how to forgive. Because when Jesus concluded the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, He said, if you don't forgive, your Father's not going to forgive. That's the point of it. Now, let me just close with this thought. We're going to go back to our opening text in Proverbs 17. And Solomon had a lot to say about conflict, and we would do well to pay attention to it. In Proverbs 17, he says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Now, you may have heard this illustration before, but just bear with me for a second. As I understand it, silversmiths and goldsmiths had a good way to know when the impurities were completely gone. When they looked at the product over the heat, over the fire, and when they looked in that product, in that heat, that silver, that gold, and they could see their reflection without bumps, without things that marred their reflection, then they knew it was pure. And I believe that the Lord allows us to walk through conflicts and adversity in our life as a way of turning the heat up, as a way of getting us to unbend from the what could get us to bend out of shape, so He can mold us into the shape He wants us to be. And He's looking for His reflection. So my question is, am I reflecting Him in the conflicts of my life? Am I reflecting Him in the conflicts of my life? Let me tell you something. The short term, you may win an argument. But it's kind of like the guys who only focus on winning one battle and they lose the war. You can win an argument and lose a friendship. You can win an argument and lose a relationship. You can win an argument and lose in what God's doing in your life. Every adversity, every conflict is not just a challenge, but it is an opportunity for God's heart-testing process to do its work. So I say, let's submit ourselves to Him, that His work would be done in us. Lord Jesus, thank you for the wisdom that comes to us from the book of Proverbs. Thank you for the practical things that you say to us, the things that are simple and yet cause us to reflect on how we can deal with conflict in a different way. We want to reflect you in this earth. We desire, Lord Jesus, that when you see us, when you look at us, when you look at our lives, your reflection is what you see. And so I pray in Jesus' name that you would use these adversities, these conflicts, and these heat times, these times of sparks and friction, to sharpen us and to mold us and to cause your reflection to be seen. In Jesus' name, amen.